as you would know, God knows all things and he does all things well. And I want to take you to 1 Corinthians this morning, very briefly. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. St. Paul is writing to the Corinthians in this chapter, and he wants to make sure that people don't get bent out of shape. Okay? Verse 1 says, "So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God." Now, you may not be aware that the secret things of God are actually a part of your future. They're also a part of your present reality. The secret things that God has inside of you are to be revealed when the Lord presses you to open it up, not before. There are things that you may hold in your heart for a long time, and all of a sudden, bingo, it's time. Got it? It's time. When? Because God has a plan. Okay? "Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful." Those of you who were here earlier, that was part of what I learned through that dream. That dream was really showing me that he was the one I was to rely on. And the workings of the Holy Spirit in that reality. In other words, whatever he's allowed, I need to be trusting him in spite of my emotions. Got it? Because if you follow your emotions, I've got news for you. You're going to crash. I don't want that. I don't want it for you, and I don't want it for me. Verse 3, "I care very little if I am judged by you or any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear. But that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God." In other words, when the books are open, then you'll understand. Until then, you need to trust. Now, there's competition in the next level, but I want you to kind of work your way forward to verse 12. He says, "We work hard with our own hands, and when we are cursed, we bless." So it tells you what to do. When someone's angry with you, what do? You bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. Some of you, even on Father's Day, are being persecuted. You endure it by choice. You don't enjoy the trip. You make the trip continue by saying, "Okay, God, I know you're in control." Verse 13 is also very important. When we are slandered. It doesn't say if you are slandered. It says when somebody's talking about you behind your back. When they're judging and condemning you. It doesn't say if. So I stress that for you. It's going to happen. Say, "God will allow a test for me.
God will allow a test for me.
He'll also provide grace."
Because
it will happen. But he'll give me an answer. And teach me.
And counsel me.
And comfort me.
It's going to happen.
What do we do when we are slandered? We answer kindly. Now, that isn't something that you can do out of the natural. How many know that you can spit a few nickels when somebody slanders you? Especially when it's a lie. And you'd like to shake that person and give them a good swift kick, you know where it hurts the most. But God says no. By the Holy Ghost, he says, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth and the refuse of the world. In other words, Paul is giving you an example of what happened to him. And it's going to happen to
us.
Why? Because we belong to the same Jesus. It's not a different body of Christ. Amen?
Yeah.
And you know what? After you have suffered a little while. After you have suffered a little while. The God of all grace will come in and begin to lift you back up and strengthen you and make you what you ought to be. That's pretty cool stuff. Okay? I am not writing this, verse 14, to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Say, what happens to the children happens to the fathers. Amen? What happens to the fathers happens to the children. It's both. Now watch. It is Father's Day, right? Even though we have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Meaning, when you share the good news. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I am sending you Timothy, my son, whom I love. By the way, Paul was never married, so how come he has a son? Is he an illegitimate one? Or is he adopted in Christ? He's adopted in Christ. Okay? Whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. Verse 18 says, some of you have become arrogant, as if I were not coming to you. But I will come to you very soon, if the Lord is willing. Then I will find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Those of you who are learning how to release yourself back to God will enjoy some of His power working through you. And you'll be able to be aware that as you continue in your focus on the Lord and your obedience in the Lord, as you continue to pray for those hopeless cases, the enemy is going to come around and he's going to use somebody to slander and pick on you.
Then that means we're doing our job.
It's because you are doing your job, exactly. And as you do your work, as you strengthen yourself in Him, as you purpose to rejoice and give thanks for those who slander you and can't stand your guts, those who have made plans to destroy you, as you continue going forward, who's getting stronger? You are. You're getting stronger in your convictions and you're aware. Oh my God, I am aware, but it's not hurting so bad now. The first time we get that slap, my God, we get under the rug, we bawl, we cry, we do all those other stupid things, and it helps nothing. All it does is get you depressed.
Amen.
So why stay depressed? Why? Don't wait and stay there and feel bad for yourself. Begin to thank Him, because He'll pull you out. I want you to go to John 17. In John chapter 17, our Lord is praying for Himself. Now that's a switch. How many of you find time to pray for yourself? Most people are focused on what they need. Not really praying about their relationship to Papa. Amen? Now there's a few exceptions, and sometimes I do, but most of the time I got somebody else on my heart. Amen? Okay. Watch. John 17, verse 1, after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed. Father, the time has come, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Now, what is he facing? He's facing death. I don't know anybody who thinks about glory in a dying process. I don't know one person who gets happy over a dying person. It just isn't normal. It's not natural. So how is he doing this? He's doing it by choice. He's saying, I know that if I die on that stupid cross, that I wish Dad would choose something different, but he's going to get glory out of this. How? Because others will come into the kingdom because of his obedience. Close your eyes right now. Say, Lord Jesus, when I die to my selfish motivations, others will enter the kingdom. Because they'll see the power of the Anointed One and the Resurrected One work through my weakness. Hallelujah. For you're getting a double dose today. Verse 2, for you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those who have given him. Some are given to you specifically to give the message of life, the good news, the gospel. Some are in relationship with you and they're going to be irritated by who you are. But God has an orchestration that is perfect. Verse 3 says, now this is eternal life. How many would like to know what eternal life is? This is it. That they may know you, which means relationship, have knowledge of you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So in other words, eternal life is a relationship of knowing the Father and knowing the Son. And when you know them both, transformation takes place because now you're no longer of the earth, you're of the Spirit. You're born again of your Spirit, you are born again of new life, and you'll never die. All the flesh might be departing from you, but you won't die. It's impossible for you to die because you have Him within you and He's the Spirit of life. Verse 4, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. So how do I bring glory to God? By doing the work that He has given me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the Lord, before the world began. Isn't that cool? Jeremiah chapter 1 says, God knew you before you were born. Did you have glory on you before you came into this realm? Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And so therefore, when this body is done its work, and if He chooses not to return in you before the grand finale, then when you leave this body, the glory you had will be restored to you, plus whatever you've gained in the process on this earth. You say, well, what are you talking about? I can't go any higher. Yes, you can. You'll bring glory to Him by obedience. You'll bring no glory when you are in anger, in resentment, and in bitterness. None. In fact, you'll backtrack. Not funny, but it's the truth. You will backtrack. Huh?
That's how I felt that week.
Uh-huh.
With certain people that I was going backwards.
Yeah.
And then when other people, I'd go forward and step back. I'm like,
Okay. Verse 6, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. Notice it's not just anybody. It's the one God gave. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They know with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world. Is that a pattern you should follow? Yeah. Pray for those God gives you. Never mind those who are in the world. It's not your problem. But if he tells you to pray for them, then you obey. But for those you have given me, and for they are yours. So the whole earth and all the people in it belong to who? Papa. Some by the Holy Ghost will be given to you. Verse 10. All I have is yours and all you have is mine. Huh. Depression. Hopelessness. Despair. Anger. Resentment. Slothfulness. Depression. I keep picking on depression because it wants to operate in you. How many have had trouble with depression this week? Stand up. Just put your Bible down. Stand up.
I had mine the week before.
Lift your hand to the Lord. Say, Father, Father, you did not give me a spirit of depression.
You gave me power, love, and a sound mind.
2 Timothy 1:7. I will not bow to fear. Especially the fear of the unknown. Because my Papa has a plan. A plan of salvation. A plan of deliverance. A plan of healing. Just for me. So look at one of your neighbors, say that plan is being established by this agreement today. Two of us in agreement with God are more than all the devils in hell and all the selfishness that's trying to push my button. I'm not going to serve selfishness. I'm going to serve my living Father and be glorified with the glory I had with him before I came into this realm. I was glory with my Savior, connected to his body of believers in the heavens. That's why I'm here today. Hallelujah. Glory to him. Give him a clap offering. Once you begin to understand the intensity of that union, once you begin to understand that you're seated with him, that you're not alone, that you're not by yourself, all this other stuff is just fluff. It really is. What is fluff? Hot air.
Oh, there's a black
water. I'm sorry.
Come on, share it with us.
I said I thought the fluff went with the peanut butter. And the jelly.
Not that kind of fluff.
Well, he said fluff, and that's what came to mind.
It did, huh? Well, I love fluffed peanut butter, in case you forgot. Periodically, I'll have that for breakfast. You know, I have a nice fresh toast and a little bit of peanut butter and some fluff on the side. It's good stuff. But when it's fluff by hell, it's not good. All it is hot air. And it tastes
bitter.
Right. Close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus,
let today
be a transforming day.
Be a transforming day. for me,
my house,
my children,
and all those that hear this message.
Let it bring them freedom
and salvation.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.